from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. We begin with immigration. The American Civil Liberties Union is going after the Trump administration after this admission that thousands more migrant children were separated from their parents than previously thought. Now, ACLU attorneys are demanding that the government find and return those migrant children taken from their parents at the border. KQED's Julie Small explains.
Last June, a federal judge told the government to reunite roughly 2,600 children with their parents who were seeking asylum in the U.S. It turns out there were more, possibly thousands more children taken from parents over a period that began in 2017. But late Friday, Jonathan White, the official in charge of reuniting migrant children, told the federal court that these children are no longer in the government's care. Finding them would be difficult, he warned, and he said removing them from foster families at this point would traumatize and destabilize them. ACLU attorney Lee Gallant calls the government's response horrific.
It can't be that we can't account for thousands of children who are separated just because it may be too much work.
Gallant says these children have a right to be with their parents, an argument he'll make in court later this month. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Let's stick with immigration. Lawyers working to help asylum seekers in Mexico say they are being denied entry into that country. This comes as the U.S. is sending some asylum seekers back to Mexico to wait for their immigration court dates. Reporter Max Rivlin-Nadler has more.
On Friday, immigration lawyer Nora Phillips was sent back to the U.S. from the airport in Guadalajara by Mexican authorities after a flight from Los Angeles. Phillips, the executive director of Al Otro Lado, a legal service provider for refugees in Tijuana, was told that her passport had been flagged by an unidentified government for an unspecified reason. Phillips says she was separated from her young daughter and questioned for hours. Other lawyers in her organization are also being denied entry into Mexico. Nicole Ramos had her Sentry Pass, which fast-tracks border crossings, revoked and confiscated 2 weeks ago.
I crossed on a Thursday, and that's when my Sentry Pass was confiscated. They advised me that they could not give me any information. There was no information in the system.
Ramos is unsure what would happen if she were to leave Mexico and try to return, so she hasn't left. Al Otro Lado's litigation director was also denied entry to Mexico this week, after the Mexican government told her that an alerta migratoria, a migratory alert, had been placed on her passport by a foreign government. The new restrictions on the lawyers' passports come at the same time that asylum seekers are being sent back to Mexico as part of a new policy where non-Mexican refugees wait in the country as their asylum claims in the U.S. are processed. Ramos believes the U.S. government is behind the migratory advisories.
We believe that the denial of entry and the deportation of my co-directors is directly tied to our action in defending human rights here on the border.
In a statement, Customs and Border Protection says that it didn't place any security alerts on Nora Phillips, the group's executive director, and that just being an Al Otro Lado lawyer or their employee in any part doesn't make you ineligible for Sentry. Al Otro Lado says it is currently working to find out who placed the advisories on their passports and why this is happening now. For the California Report, I'm Max Rivlin-Nadler in Tijuana.
And Max has reached out to Mexican officials and is waiting for comment. In Orange County, authorities say five people died yesterday in Yorba Linda when a small plane crashed in a residential neighborhood. After taking off from an airport about 12 miles away, the plane rained debris across the neighborhood, igniting a house fire before crashing into a backyard. The pilot was the only person on board the plane. He died along with four people in the home that caught fire. Two other people were hurt. The coroner is working to identify the bodies, and the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the crash. Let's go to Sacramento now, where the state union that represents correctional officers wants to take back millions of dollars from a campaign that you're likely to see on the 2020 ballot. That campaign is aimed at rolling back some of the criminal justice reforms championed by Democrats like former Governor Jerry Brown. For corrections officers, fewer people in prisons is quite simply bad for business. Earlier, I sat down with KQED politics reporter Marisa Lagos, who broke this story. She explained why the union is suddenly backing off.
So the correctional officers played a huge role in the 90s and early 2000s in helping fund a lot of the tough-on-crime ballot measures like three strikes reform. After they lost their contract or they never signed a new contract and were working in pretty tough conditions for a while, and then Jerry Brown came in. And he not only signed a contract with them, but he started pushing a lot of criminal justice reforms. And during the past 10 years or so, this union, which had been such a huge force, has been very quiet. The only thing they really spent money on was a capital punishment campaign.
Now that changed in December when they took about $2 million and said, we're going to put this money towards an effort to roll back some of these criminal justice reforms.
Yeah, and that was a big surprise to many folks, I think, because the reforms they want to roll back are really things that the Democratic majority and the current governor support. Apparently, that was one of the final acts of their outgoing president. And so a couple weeks ago, they basically wrote a letter asking this campaign, which will be on the 2020 ballot, if they can have the money back.
$2 million.
If they can get the $2 million back. That $2 million accounts for more than half of the campaign's entire war chest. It's not clear to me what they're going to do, but it was a very unusual move. And to me, it seems directly linked to the fact that they have contract negotiations coming up with our new governor, Gavin Newsom.
So you're saying essentially that that's a political maneuver so that they can make nice with the governor who really controls their fate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to read it because you have this union that has historically been supportive of getting more inmates in prison, which meant more jobs for them. Now you have this weird thing happening where I think they are looking at the sort of political landscape, and their job is to protect their members. And it's better to have fewer happy members that are probably getting paid well than it is to have more unhappy members.
Marisa Lagos is a politics reporter for KQED. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Let's move on now to the latest on PG&E's bankruptcy. Governor Gavin Newsom wants the U.S. trustee overseeing the utility's Chapter 11 case to officially include wildfire victims, ratepayers, and employees on the committees that advocate for creditors in this case. Now, this is an unconventional move, says Patrick McCallum. He's a lobbyist for fire victims, and he argues that this case warrants it.
We believe there's a moral imperative that victims be first on the list among the multiple creditors, particularly people that reimbursement is whether they are able to rebuild and move on with their lives.
The three-page letter on behalf of Newsom's administration says the committees need to address both the short-term bankruptcy case and the longer-term necessity of a feasible utility. Well, getting access to health care in California could get a lot harder over the next decade. That's unless the state takes bold steps to deal with a shortage of health care workers. So says a new report out today that makes several recommendations for how to get more people into the field. KQED reporter Katie Orr has an early look.
A commission of educators, healthcare professionals, labor leaders, and policymakers says California needs an investment of $3 billion over the next 10 years to combat a potential shortfall in physicians, home care workers, and psychiatrists. Commission member David Carlisle is president and CEO of the Charles R. Drew University of Medicine and Science in Los Angeles.
The shortage of healthcare workers, especially in some specific areas such as primary care and behavioral health or mental health providers is significant, and it manifests itself in a lack of access for certain geographic parts of the state and certain population groups.
Especially affected, he says, are rural communities and people of color. The recommendations include helping students from underrepresented and low-income backgrounds pursue health careers. They call for more scholarships and support for students, and they emphasize increasing diversity in the medical field. Carlisle says it's important patients feel like their provider can relate to them.
Medicine is still very much based upon the art and skill of effective communication. If a patient does not trust a provider, the patient may not follow through on the provider's recommendations, may not come back to the provider when things are not going well.
Carlisle says it's up to the medical field, universities, lawmakers, and philanthropists to make sure the recommendations take hold. He says the report also includes a roadmap for how organizations can implement changes on their own. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction. Together, building greatness. And the James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org.
All right, so in case you haven't heard, the LA Rams lost the Super Bowl yesterday to the New England Patriots. The final score was 13-3. That's a tough loss, but hey, the game did set some records. Fewest points by both teams, fewest points by the winning team, fewest combined points through three quarters, and longest punt. Big condolences to our LA Rams. For what it's worth, you were up against Tom Brady. What are you going to do? And that is the California Report for this Monday, February 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Dramali. Have a great day.